kind of spiritual daily bread are you administering to your children?
In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Drawing on her decades of personal study and the application of God's principles as a daughter, mother, wife, and missionary, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot. And I have a very interesting letter that I want to read today, which I think will be helpful to many of you in considering what you are feeding your children other than physical food. I'm not going to get into the subject of whether you should feed them health foods and all that sort of thing, but I certainly do want to get into the subject of what kind of mental and spiritual food you're giving to your children. And I have a letter from Rod and Pauletta Lovett of Carmel, Indiana, telling about a TV family's war of nerves. They had written this letter to Christianity Today, the magazine, and then they sent me a copy of it. I'm going to read as much of it as I have time for here. I think I probably have time for the whole thing. My wife and I spoke at a young couple's Sunday school class in July on parenting and gave the reasons we set our TV out in the rain 12 years ago. We have three children, David, 12, Heidi, 15, and Mark, 17. They excel in academics, in athletics, and in Bible memory. We remarked that neither we, their parents, nor they would have even a half hour a day to give to TV. I wanted to write again to more clearly share our experience and our thoughts. We gave these young couples the following reasons why we did not have a TV. And the first category has six reasons for the sake of our children. Number one, we felt it would inhibit their academic growth, their learning to read, discovery of books, and music appreciation. Number two, it would keep them from developing creativity and from learning to explore on their own. Number three, it would hinder the development of skills in interacting with or relating to other playmates and adults. Four, it would make what mommy and daddy wanted, and often what God wanted, less interesting and less appealing. Five, it would make reality seem too black and white. Six, it might expose them to evil too early and too often so that they were no longer, quote, wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The next category is for our teenagers. One, it would keep them from spending the time living their own lives. Two, it would take them away from developing their prayer life to the fullest and from enjoying that time with God. Three, it would take away time they could be spending developing their relationships with other family members or with friends. Four, it might keep them from spending time in outreach to friends who need to know their Savior. Five, TV often presents distorted truth, news presentations, for example, or a false view of life, as, for example, the movies. When was the last time God's work was presented in a favorable light by the news media? God's answers to life's problems are rarely presented at all, or they are ridiculed on TV. Teens might fail to realize that TV programs are frequently giving audiences subtle messages that are contrary to God's word. Six, it might desensitize them to evil, sin, and violence. As they spent time exposed to a large amount of evil, whether on the news or in programs, it would become more acceptable and more the norm rather than the wrong and unacceptable. They could become so accustomed to seeing such sin that their consciences would become weak and defiled. They would become accustomed to living with sin in their own homes. In is in quotation marks. If it's in the living room on the screen, then gets to be pretty ordinary, doesn't it? In our society today, we are not even as upset about these things as Lot. Scripture says he was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. We, on the other hand, hardly even pause when we hear or see killings, injustice, sin, and crime, either on the news or in an evening's drama. 7, it would tend to separate them from reality. It would be an escape from the world in which God placed them and the circumstances he brought into their lives to change them to be like his son. Watching TV can cause a subtle but real change in perception of what reality should be and is. We felt God did not put them here to spend the time he gave them watching the pretend lives of Hollywood actors. Rather, he placed them here to live out their lives in a dynamic, day-to-day relationship with himself and with others. It could prevent them from either getting the rest they need or from preparing the task God had for them to do the next day, the next week, or even in the coming years. And now here are the reasons why, for parents, they got rid of the TV. When children see parents watching TV, these children also will want to. Programs may be more harmful to their young lives. Parents become bad examples. 2, we thought that our adversary would feel more comfortable in our home with the TV playing, even if nobody was watching it. That's an interesting rule, isn't it? That the adversary would feel more comfortable. TV can set the atmosphere for the home when it is playing. We were concerned that the Holy Spirit might not find this atmosphere comfortable. Would his still small voice feel welcome to speak in our home when the TV was playing? Would our home still be a sanctuary away from the world and its influences? We felt that both our spiritual growth and that of our children would be less if we spent more time each week in front of the tube than we spent in prayer with God. How could we expect our children to have souls that thirsted for God when we spent our own free time in front of the TV? We asked, would David have been caught in front of a TV absorbed in its programming? If so, would he have been able to write, "My soul thirsts for you, my body longs for you," or, "One thing I ask of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple," or, "On his law he meditates day and night." We also questioned other diversions that had a tendency to absorb hours of our time, novels, magazines, sports, and hobbies. What if Paul had been too absorbed in some hobby or some football game to strain toward what is ahead and to press on toward the goal? 4, we found that we could become so absorbed emotionally with TV news each night, catastrophes happening in faraway places, that we were too drained to devote what was needed to the day's events taking place in our families, friends, and communities. It would probably have taken a small explosion in our home to wake us up to the tremendous needs of those we were living and working with. We realized that we could not afford to spend such emotional energies on everything the evening news presented, things we could not change and would not even pray for. The psalmist recognized his limitations and said, "I do not concern myself with great matters." We felt we needed to be like the psalmist and spend more of our emotional energy with prayer and concern for that which God was doing in our little family, at work, and in our neighborhood. And then we could concentrate more of the time we had for interests in faraway places on missionary reports of God's work there. We did not ignore national or international events, but felt an hour each evening was too much. And I hope you got that last punchline there. We did not ignore national or international events. But the question that we've been considering is daily bread. What kind of spiritual daily bread are you administering to your children? If your answer is, "We don't have time," my question would be, is there time for TV? Is there time to go to the football game? Is there time to do the things you really want to do? Well, this is an example of a family and the name of the parents was Rod and Pauletta Lovett from Carmel, Indiana, who carefully thought out how many hours there are in a day, what is the most important thing, is it possible to do all these extremely important things for the nourishment of our children, and have TV. They decided that they couldn't do both. Think about that. Ask yourself, how have we divided the time between the spiritual needs of our children and all the other things? If you actually keep a record of the exact number of minutes that you spend reading the Bible and praying with your children, what does it come to? Would you like to present this proportioning of time to the Lord Jesus?
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.